The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength, conceived seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I'm sure that we all understand what this is talking about, and that Abraham and Sarah were able to have a child. The child was the promised seed that God had made to Abraham, and we know that they did have a child, and that child's name was Isaac. And I was thinking about this story about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. Takes a lot of space in the Bible. It's very important. There's a lot of lessons, a lot of teachings, and things like that. And Abraham gets all the press. Sarah doesn't get much. Sarah did all the work, really. She had the baby. She had to put up with Abraham. But we all talk about Abraham. The Bible mentions him, talks about him, calls him the father of the faithful. But now the Apostle Paul, I believe, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, what we call the Hall of Faith, when he's talking about faith, talking about people who used faith, they were given faith and they used faith, he mentions Sarah. He does mention Abraham. He mentioned Abraham before. He's going to mention Abraham after. But he's going to take time, and he says, now let's talk about Sarah. Sarah had faith, and Sarah believed God. She received the strength to conceive seed, and she had a child when she was past age. She was over 90 years old. She had a child. She had a baby at the age of 90. And it was promised to Abraham. It was promised to her. And she judged God faithful, that promise. That means she believed what God said. Amen. God promised. She not only believed that God made the promise, she believed that God was able to keep the promise. God made a promise to Sarah that medical science said this is impossible, this can't happen. But she did conceive a child. And I just like to think about what's going on, what happened in that situation. And if the Lord would bless, I would like to turn to the book of Genesis where all this happened. And this is found in Genesis chapter 18. And here you see the kind of the dynamics between Abraham and Sarah, how they worked together, how they were blessed together, and how God dealt with them. God hasn't changed. God deals with us, and we all ought to have faith in God's promise. You don't need faith to get to heaven. You have faith because you're going to heaven. Faith doesn't get you into eternal glory. It just brings heaven down to you. And it allows us to see a foretaste of it and to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God here on earth. And it blesses us in our marriages. It blesses us in our jobs and every day that we live. Life is a walk of faith. I'm going to be honest with you. I personally do not like walking by faith. I like walking by sight. I like to know where I'm going. I don't like surprises. I read the last book of every book that I read. I want to find out how it ends before I start reading it. And if it has a bad end, then I'm not going to read it. That's why I don't like to read Shakespeare, because everybody dies. Now, y'all read Shakespeare, that's fine. But I'll give you the plot, everybody dies. All right, it's too depressing. I don't like to be depressed. I'm not going to go to a movie where everybody dies. I mean, somebody tricked me into going to a movie. It was the worst, just sad, just every hero died. You pull with them all the way through. The last 2 minutes of the movie, they died. What was the point? I said, well, why do you like the gospel so much? Well, he died, but he's alive again. All right, so that's pretty good. You see, that's why I like the gospel. And that's why I like the scriptures, because it allows me to see the last page. I'm able to see by faith the last day. God's people are going to be raised in incorruptible, undefiled. Jesus is going to beat them in the air. And he's going to say, come in, ye blessed of the Father. I just gave it away, y'all. You already know what's going to happen. All right. that's not a spoiler. That just makes your day. That makes your day. All right? But I look at spoilers. I like spoiler alerts. I don't want to be surprised by what's going to happen. But life is a walk of faith. And we have to believe in the Lord. We have to believe the Lord. You know, it's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe God. All right? You know, there's a lot of times I believe in God, but sometimes I don't believe God. Well, that's not right. I need to have the faith that God is able to keep his promises. I know he is. I know he is, but sometimes I just get in the flesh and I have that struggle. That's a daily struggle. I'm sure y'all don't have that struggle, right? I mean, I'm preaching to myself. I need this sermon. I'm preaching to me. I need this. I fight this every day. I'm probably the worst person in the world to preach on faith because I like spoilers. I'll read the last page, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm the one who needs this sermon more than anybody in this audience, in this congregation. So I like to understand about people of faith and how they use faith and how they were blessed by faith. Which is why I love Hebrews chapter 11. And I've studied these people out, and I'm going to keep studying them. And it helps me to get better, helps me to do better. And so with that in mind, we go to Genesis chapter 18. So we're going to be dealing with Abraham. Verse 1, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that, ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said." Three men. Two of these men were angels. One of them was the Lord Jesus Christ. You mean the Lord Jesus Christ bodily appeared in the Old Testament? Yes. Right here, he is. Well, that's just your interpretation. No. Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And he saw it and was glad. That's how we ought to feel when we see the Lord. Amen. We ought to be glad. Amen. David was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." David was glad to go to church. He was glad to be around people who wanted to go to church. And he was glad to go to church with them. Now, I used to misquote that and said, "Dave, let's go up to the house of the Lord." No, he said, "Let's go into it." You know, have you ever been up to it, but into it, but not into it? I have. I used to, like that old song, I had a drug problem. I was drugged the church. I had a terrible childhood, terrible life, terrible. My parents were cruel. They took me to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. Then during summer, they invented this wonderful thing to inflict pain upon children. That was called a three-day meeting. Three-day meeting. And if that wasn't bad enough, they had a four-day meeting. I don't feel sorry for kids. I had it worse than y'all did. All right, because that was back before we had padded benches. It's back before we had air-conditioned buildings. It's back before, we had a lot of things. At any rate, I digress. Let's pick back to Abraham. Abraham saw these three men. Two of these were angels. One was the Lord Jesus Christ. We see a lot of representatives of Jesus Christ. I think that burning bush that Brother Ronald talked about is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord was there, told him to take off his shoes, for it was holy ground. When the Lord is there, it's holy ground. So he calls him my Lord. He bows to the ground. No angel ever let anybody do that to him. But the Lord did. I believe that Joshua saw him. Before the battle of Jericho. And it was the captain of the host. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He said the same thing to Joshua, "Take off your shoes. This is holy ground." So Abraham saw, this is the Lord. He said, "My Lord, my Lord. Now, if I found favor, let me do this. Let me fetch some water. Let's fetch some refreshment." Scripture says, "Be careful not to entertain strangers." That's Brother Ronald's word. neighbors, strangers. For some have entertained angels unawares. Some have entertained the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got the Lord in your house, you need to do everything you can to keep him there.
Amen.
All right? If the Lord comes to your house, keep him there. There are things you can do to drive the Lord out of your house.
Right.
Don't do it.
Amen.
Don't do it. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I know what it's like to live in a house where the Lord wasn't there. All right? I've lived in it. I've done it. I've seen it happen. I've seen the effects of it. It will devastate your family. It will devastate your life. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you the truth. You've got the Lord in your life. Keep him there.
Right.
You want to know what you can do to drive him out? I'll tell you what to do. No, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Just do what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
All right, you got the Lord here. Keep him here.
Amen.
You want to have you? I'll tell you one way you can drive him out: by being proud, being stuck on yourselves.
Yeah.
Wow, look what we've done. We've got this. We've got this great building. We've got this great congregation. The Lord meets with us. We're doing something. The Lord will show you how much something you are without him.
Amen.
All right, you've got the Lord here. This is a wonderful thing. Y'all are wonderfully blessed here at Bethlehem Church. Y'all are blessed in this area. The Lord has been good to you.
Yeah.
The Lord has been, I love you, but he's been better to you than you deserve.
Amen.
All right? Amen?
Right.
Amen. He's better than me than I deserve.
Amen.
I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to stand up here and preach to you. I don't deserve 1 second of God's grace. I don't deserve to set one toe in the kingdom. God's merciful.
Right.
All right? That's the theme of my song. God is merciful. But I've been in a house. I've lived in a house where the Lord wasn't there. Where the Lord wasn't there, it'll do crazy things to you. It'll make you do crazy things. It'll make you have crazy thoughts. I don't ever want to go that way again. Abraham saw the Lord. That's the first thing. God give me wisdom to recognize the Lord.
Amen.
God give me the ability. God give me the spirit. When I see him, I want to recognize him. And, oh, Lord, would you come and visit with us? I told Sister Leslie. I said, I want our house, the place to be where the Holy Spirit is, where there's a sound of laughter, where there's the sound of amen, where the gospel has free course. Where the Spirit abides with us. I want this to be a place where prayer is heard often.
Right.
It didn't used to be that way. It is right now. May God get all the glory. God get all the praise.
Amen,
amen and amen.
Right.
I'll amen that. I'll give God the glory. I'm not bragging. I'm giving all the glory to God.
Amen.
All right. Abraham saw the Lord. Abraham saw these men. Abraham wanted to do everything he could to keep the Lord there.
Right.
All right. So he said, I'll do this. I'm going to do this. If would this be good enough? What can I do? What can I do? And they said, that sounds good. So do it. All right. So Abraham, verse 6, he hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. Now, this is a good family. They're all doing their part. All right? She can do things that Abraham can't do. Abraham can do things she can't do. She can do some things better than Abraham. He can do things better than her. They all understand their place. And they're not trying to take the other's place. All right? You know how to bring disharmony when we cross roles. All right, when the wife's got to do the husband's part or vice versa, that's when you got trouble in the home.
Right, right.
All right, and it doesn't mean somebody's better than the other. It doesn't mean that.
Right.
We've been created for a purpose. God knew what he was doing.
Right.
Let's just let God be God, right?
Right.
Okay, we're not God. We don't know any better than God.
Right.
We're worse than God. We're going to make it worse.
Right.
You want a happy family? Do what God says.
Right.
Be satisfied with where you are. Don't try to do something that God didn't put you in a position to do. Sometimes you have to. I understand that. But when you got the bases covered, keep them covered. That's easy to do. Why do we make it so hard? Life really doesn't have to be as bad as it has to be. But we make it that way. All right? Make 3 cakes. You can do that. You can do that. I've given you the ability to do that. I've got everything. I've provided everything you need to do what you can do. Now Abraham's going to do what he can do. Verse 7, Abraham ran. See how he hastened. He's running. He's in a hurry. He ran unto the herd, fetched the calf, tender and good, gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the table, and they did eat. I like it when people come to my house and eat Sister Leslie's good cooking. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel. We had Brother Chris come to our house. He had a good time. He actually had a good time. Brother Chris McCool came to my house. He had a good. He's amening me right now. You hear that? That was his cue. He recognized his cue to amen, and he amen. He amen to the right time. I wish I was going to be at Zion tomorrow, but I got to go. Bless your heart, Brother Chris. Please come back. Please come back. Sister Leslie made him the king of all lasagnas. You ain't never had good lasagna until you had Sister Leslie. Amen. And he's amen. And again, see, you hear that? You hear that? I don't have an amen sign. I don't have a cue. All right. But he's doing this. I'm not paying him for that. I like it. Yeah, Brother Chris came to my house. He called me on the phone or texted me and said, I'm going to be in San Antonio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That brother, I mean, he was so lonely. Poor brother. He was so lonely. Been away from home. Sad little puppy. Brother Chris McCool's got the saddest puppy little face you've ever seen in your life. And I thought, man, I'm going to get to bring this puppy dog to my house. Used to be, you know, that was the last place I wanted to bring somebody. But, oh, man, we got to bring it. And we had a wonderful time. Amen? Yeah, amen. You're falling asleep on me, Brother Chris. All right, I like to see that. It makes you feel good. We need each other. We've always needed each other. I like that. I'm tending to think that we need each other more than ever in history right now. All right? It may be we're entering those perilous times. It may be. I'm not saying we are. It may be we're entering the last days. It may be. We need each other. But I know this, even in Malachi's day, that wasn't a good time. You read about what was going on. People were calling evil good and good evil and saying, why should we do this? Why should we serve the Lord? It is vain to serve the Lord. And you know what it said? It said, then they that fear the Lord spake often one with another.
Amen.
All right? When times are bad, God's people need to see each other more often.
Amen.
And they need to speak with each other. They don't need to fight with each other.
Right.
They don't need to pick at each other.
Amen.
They need to speak one to another.
Right.
All right? And we need to speak. I need you. Maybe you need me, but I know I need you. I need you. You're not going to get rid of me anyway. All right? We need each other. They were having fellowship. They're having fellowship. They're having fellowship. He's watching them. They're eating. Now, here comes some blessings. Something's going to happen. Something good's going to happen. They said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. A man needs to know where his wife is, and a wife needs to know where her husband is. Bad things happen in a marriage where neither one knows where the other one is. All right? They need to know where each other are. It's called accountability. It's called respect. Am I making you uncomfortable, brethren? You shouldn't. You shouldn't. You're not. If your wife picks up your cell phone, does it make you nervous? It shouldn't.
Amen.
You got something to hide, don't you? Don't lie to me. I know you, brethren. I'm not accusing any single brother. I just know men in general. I've been a man, you know, for a long time. In fact, ever since I was born. Children, what if you? First of all, what are you doing with a smartphone if you're under the age of so-and-so? But anyway, that's none of my business. But let's just say if you do, would it make you nervous? Your parents pick it up, start looking at it? It shouldn't.
Right.
Sisters, it make you nervous? Your husband picks up your cell phone? What if your pastor picks up your cell phone? How about that?
Yeah.
I'm not going to get to meddling. I'm not going to meddle in that. But we should. If we got something to hide, then we need to stop doing what we're doing.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
All right, you don't know where your wife is. She don't know where you are. Y'all need to fix that.
Amen.
You need to fix it. You got something you need to fix. Because I guarantee you, if you don't fix it, it's going to get bad.
Right.
The potential could be really bad. All right, I know what I'm talking about. At any rate, she's in the tent. She's where she's supposed to be. I'm where I'm supposed to be. She's in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Where was Sarah, his wife? She was doing what a good wife ought to do. She was eavesdropping. That's right. Does that make you nervous?
It should.
Yes. It shouldn't. Especially if you're talking with the Lord. All right. Now, come on. Brother Tim. Jesus comes to your house and talks to Sister Tracy. And he says, I want you to go away. I'm going to talk. Are you interested in what he's going to say? I am.
Amen.
You betcha. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm gonna have a glass to my ear on the wall saying, I'm gonna have one of those sound amplifiers, you know, like what are they saying? You know, recording it everything. I'm gonna read it later. She's listening at the door of the tent. Your wife is going to have a baby. He's already promised this. Now he's doing it at his house where he lives. Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also, the Lord, you know, we want the Lord to hear our prayers, don't we? We sure don't want him to know our thoughts. Right? Lord, just hear all my prayers and ignore whatever I think. Don't work that way, does it? He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All right? Brother Ronald said he's the originator of X-ray. All right? He can read your mind. He can. He knows our thoughts afar off. His radar has complete coverage all over his creation. The Lord knows what you're thinking. Amen. He knows what you're thinking right now. Well, I hope Brother David don't preach too long. Well, I got a cake in the oven. Well, we got baseball practice tonight. I didn't know that. I'm just guessing. Those are things that I would think. I mean, I listen to afternoon preachers. I can fall asleep with the best of them. I mean, I'll tell you stories. Y'all come out to Brother Tim's and I will regale you with stories of me in meetings. It will send you in peals of laughter. True things that really happened to me in afternoon service. Weird things happen in the afternoon, at any rate. All right? I know. I've been there. I got to listen to preaching more than anybody. And I fall asleep on the best. At any rate, the Lord knows what we're thinking. He knows what I'm thinking. And he heard what Sarah thought, not what she said. He heard her thought. The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? He knew she laughed. He knew she thought that. But let's not get onto Sarah's case about laughing, because Abraham too laughed. All right. When God had made the same promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 16 or 17, when he heard God's promise, you read this in verses 15 and 16. He said, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Verse 17, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. He didn't even laugh within himself. He was the original rolling on the floor laughing. Where did we get that? We get it from Abraham. He's the father of the raffle, all right? Anybody under 20 just understood what I said. I just woke up every young person in this congregation. He R-O-F-L. He fell on his face laughing. Sarah was being nice. She's being respectful. She just thought this within herself. She laughed within herself. Abraham fell on his face, laughed out loud. And he said, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Now, back to Sarah. I'm glad she laughed. I'm sure she don't feel good right now. God is calling attention to her. Why are you laughing? You said this. You thought this. You laugh within yourself. I'm glad she did, because what it did is it prompted one of my all-time favorite scriptures. If she hadn't laughed, we wouldn't be the blessed of it. Listen to what he says next. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. Amen. Don't laugh at him. It's not too difficult. As I said this morning, he saved your soul from hell. My friends, he can bless this country no matter who's in the White House.
Amen.
All right, what are you worried about? Are you worried about what's coming from Washington, D.C.? How about Jerusalem, D.C.? Good news from a far country out there. Are you worried about who's going to elect a president? I tell you one election you ought to be concerned with, the one that happened before time, when God chose you out of darkness and chose you to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, predestinated you. That's the election I'm talking about. All right, then there's nothing we can do to change that. That's written in stone. And nothing shall separate you from the love of God. You're worried about this nation's going to fall into disarray? My friends, nothing shall separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this much, my beloved. If the Lord would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous, then let's be that 10 righteous.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. Well, if it comes down to us, then let it be us.
Right.
All right, if it's nowhere else but here, then let's be here.
Amen.
All right? I can't control the fate of this country. I can't control the hearts of everybody, but I know who can.
Amen.
I know who has the hand, the heart of the king, and can turn it whither he go with, like rivers of water. He can change things on a dime.
Right.
He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Right.
And we don't have to choose him. He chose us.
Amen.
We don't have to worry about some acceptable person being on the throne of God, throne of heaven. It's Jesus Christ, the magnificent, the righteous, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And he accepted us.
Right.
He accepted us. He chose us. He elected us. He's our high priest. He is our husband.
Amen.
And he's why we're here right now.
Amen.
He's why you, if you're feeling good right now, he's the reason.
Right.
All right, people, he's the reason for the season. What season are you talking about? He's good for every day.
Amen.
He's good for every day. He's good for every part of your life.
Right.
You ought to remember him in your youth, but you ought to remember him in your old age.
Right.
Right. Yeah, because you know when you get old, things aren't as good as they used to be. You ought to remember him then. You ought to remember them. Give glory to him. You're going to heaven. I don't know what else to tell you. That doesn't make you happy. What's the matter with you?
Right.
Seriously. Get out of the mully grubs. I just told you you're going to heaven. All right, why are you giving me the fish eye right now? Give me a break. You're going to heaven. You're going to glory. You had nothing to do with it. Jesus did it. He bore your sins. He bore your sins. And you're going home like, well, this life is. Oh, well, sure it is. In this world, you shall have tribulations. That's what he said. That's what you shouldn't be surprised about that. But he said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Right, right. Okay, so he said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. No. He said, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. Huh, you can't fool the Lord. For she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. A lot of things we can say about that. A lot of things that happened, but you know what happened. At the appointed time, she had a baby. Was it a boy or a girl? I think it was a boy. Isn't that what he said, a son? You'll have a son. And they named him Isaac, which means laughter. So God has made us laugh. They were laughing with unbelief, laughing with scorn at one time. Now they're laughing for joy.
Amen.
You know, I found that way with church. I thought church was just, you know, the worst place in the world. Why would anybody want to go sit and just listen to me and preach all day long? Now I can't wait to go.
Amen.
To me, it was a place of torture. Now it's the best place in the world.
Amen.
God can change our mind, can't he? God changed you. God changed you. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's not. Is there anything we can't take the Lord in prayer? No, there's not. And everything we ought to, you know, give. Well, Brother Ronald can quote the text, so I'll just let him quote it later. There's nothing we can't take to him in prayer. Give God, let the Lord bless us. because he's already blessed us with the best thing ever. May God richly bless you is my prayer. Thank you very much for your kind and wonderful attention.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.